Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4111. Yeah, that's 4111.
I've been thinking, I've been humming, I've been picking and I've been strumming, just waiting, waiting on a stone. I've been hitching, I've been thumbing, I can almost hear one coming.
He is Dan Auerbach, title track of a 2017 record. You probably know him better as one half of the Black Keys. This is a song available on iTunes and everywhere downloadable music is sold. Co-written by John Prine. Today on Leaning Toward Wisdom, it's about waiting on the music. Dan Auerbach, name of the record is Waiting on a Song. That's the title track. It's a fairly new release. I think it came out in May. You should buy it. It's a great record. And of course, it caught me immediately because I am such a John Prine fan. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kentrell, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. I know that I told you over in the Facebook group that I was working on a different show, but that was before the death of Chris Cornell, and I never quite got my mojo back on the episode that I was working on. So when that news broke, I sort of shifted gears. I'm parking it, as they say, but I'll come back to it. I don't even remember what the working title was. I think it had something to do with light. But I started mulling over today's show some weeks ago when I heard that track that you just listened to, that title track to Dan Auerbach's new record. And it's a better title than the one I used for this episode, but you know, a guy's got to be careful these days. And besides, I'm always waiting on more than just a single song. I'm usually waiting on a series of songs, but that's because that's how I roll. Back in the days of 45 records, where lots of kids would rush out to purchase the new hit song, and they didn't care about anything else. I was not that guy. I never did buy 45s. I was always interested in those other songs. And on the flip side of the 45s, they were called the B-side. One of the more famous B-side songs was one by Stevie Nicks, Silver Springs. She tried to get the band, Fleetwood Mac, to include it on that famous record, Rumors. but instead it got stuck on the B side of the hit Go Your Own Way. That was in 1977. Two decades later, that's right, two decades later, it would finally appear on Fleetwood Mac's live record, The Dance. And it won a Grammy. It won a stinking Grammy. Proof that the good stuff, it ain't always on side A. From 1997, Fleetwood Mac, The Dance. Stevie Nicks singing the lead to Silver Springs. And who says Plan B doesn't work? I was always an album guy. You know, I still am. I mean, like I told you, I didn't invest in 45s when even in preteen years, the kids were buying the 45s. And I don't know if it was a cost thing as much as it was, you know, I just want that one song. Even today, I can get frustrated when people go, well, I just really... You know, I don't really care about the rest of the record. I just want that one song. I'm an album guy. Always have been. And I've never been much of a mixtape guy. You know, not really. Compilations of favorite songs. Songs are always in context of albums for me. I can listen to a song, and if it's a longtime favorite, I can anticipate the next song. Because the album is the story that I hear in my head. I know this song precedes this other song. And then coming after that one, I know what that song is going to be. Waiting on the song, the next song. It's the fun anticipation of what you know is coming next. And you don't get that when you just go straight to the hit or whatever your favorite track might be. As I was preparing for today's show, the thing that leaped out to me was a record back in 1972. Fallen In and Out of Love is a song that precedes the hit that you've heard by the group Pure Prairie League, Amy. Well, right before Amy, the band is playing Fallen In and Out of Love, and it kind of moves into Amy. 1972, the year I got my first brand new car, a gift from my grandfather who was about to die from cancer. I turned 15 that year, and in Louisiana at the time, you could get your full-blown driver's license at 15. I did. And I admit to you that I was in my alt-country phase of music listening at the time. And so this duo of songs by Pure Prairie League, it was really, really big for me.
Ready? Touching what is real, all my mind is reeling round. Caroline is feeling down today.
This song is just barely 2 minutes long, but every time I hear this song, I know what's coming next. So you can wait for it and wait for it, but you don't have to wait too long. They only keep you waiting a little over 2 minutes. Pure Prairie League from their 1972 record, Bustin' Out, Falling In and Out of Love. And if you don't own this, you're crazy. No question, big hit for these guys. In the pre-Vince Gill days, did I ever tell you that Rhonda and I went to see Pure Prairie League when Vince Gill was around? Craig Fuller, he had left the band some years before, and so Vince Gill, this was in Norman, Oklahoma, on the campus of OU. Out comes Vince, a Norman, Oklahoma boy himself, donning a Sooner football jersey. I wonder if there are pictures around of Vince in those days. Surely there must be. Vince had super long hair, you know, I mean, down to his shoulders. I mean, boy had crazy talent. Wasn't the same, though. But I digress. Amy, Pure Prairie League. Bustin' Out, 1972. I think you can buy it. I haven't checked for a while. I should have checked before I hit record. I don't think it's expensive. I think it's one of those $5.99, $7.99 kind of deals. Worth every dollar of $13.99, yes, me. Well, that first track that you heard, this new record by one half of the Black Keys. And that title track, as I told you, written by one of my all-time favorite, John Prine. And John Prine just released a book. I do not have it. I have not read it, but I'm interested in it because it's a book entitled Beyond Words. I'm on John's email list, and so I've known about it for a while. It includes photos, handwritten lyrics, and his notes on how the songs happened. And he strikes me as a guy who has lived his whole life waiting on a song. And thankfully, they have come to him frequently, and mostly they have been pretty terrific. But as the lyric of that song says, you know, the trees don't grow, songs don't grow on trees. But the song also speaks about how we're picking and we're playing. And that's really going to be a big theme in today's show. It's not really just about waiting. Yeah, but we'll get to that. Very few artists epitomize waiting on a song for me like John Prine. I mean, every song is a story. Well-crafted, clever, stirring. And these are mostly, you know, three and a half minute songs. I mean, it's a spectacular talent now, kids, when you can craft a 3.5 minute story that is as deep and stirring as the kind of stories John Prine can sing. Life's ups, life's downs. John has been able to capture the range of emotions that are common to all of us. Well, common to me for sure, and I suspect many other people, because he's widely regarded as just a master craftsman at writing songs. And while I have often wondered what prompted the songs, it really isn't necessary, you know, when you listen to them. Because I think we go in our own head wherever that song may take us. And that's what makes these things personal. It's what makes these things deep. In fact, here's a song by John Prine that has always, always just been one of my top favorites because it is so stirring for me. Far From Me by John Prine.
As the cafe was closing on a warm summer night, Kathy was cleaning the spoons, the radio played the hit parade, and I hummed along with the tune. She asked me to change the station, said the song just drove her insane. But it weren't just the music playing, it was me she was trying to blame. And the sky is black and still now on the hill where the angels sing. Ain't it funny how an old broken bottle looks just like a diamond ring? But it's far, far from me. Well, I leaned on my left leg in the parking lot dirt. Kathy was closing the lights. June bug flew from the warmth he once knew, and I wished for once I weren't right. While we used to laugh together and we danced to any old song, well, you know, she still laughs with me, but she waits just a second too long. And the sky is black and still now on the hill where the angels sing. An old broken bottle looks just like a diamond ring, but it's far, far from me. started the engine and I gave it some gas. Kathy was closing her purse. Well, we hadn't gone far in my beat up old car, and I was prepared for the worst. Will you still see me tomorrow? No, I got too much to do. Well, a question ain't really a question if you know the answer to. And the sky is black and still now on the hill where the angels sing. Ain't it funny? An old broken bottle looks just like a diamond ring, but it's far, far from me.
That's the best 3.5 minute story that you'll hear today. I can pretty much guarantee it. Leaned on my left leg in the parking lot dirt. Man, it's just so terrific. You know, and the lines that I love, she still laughs with me, but she waits just a second too long. And a question ain't really a question if you know the answer to. And who among us cannot relate to those things? Boy, that is from John Prine, 1971, his record John Prine. And the name of the song is Far From Me. And it is a great, great song. Well, let's get to the point here, because you already know that I am using the show title as a metaphor. It's not just about waiting on the music, although I do often wait for the music or for a song. I wait for Friday to roll around when new releases hit. Well, that's when they mostly hit. I wait for Amy to follow Fallen In and Out of Love. I wait for, I'm not going to play it, but I wait for Fountain of Sorrow to follow Late for the Sky by Jackson Browne, one of my all-time favorite records from 1974. Well, from all time. But you know that I listen to a lot of music, and so there is that. But there are two important elements that I think for all of us, even if you're not as into music as I am. First, there's the waiting. And as Tom Petty sings, it is the hardest part. And that's true enough, but it's also some of the most exhilarating parts, right? I mean, the anticipation is just pretty stinking terrific. You've been in love before. In fact, I hope for you, I hope that you're in love right now. And if you're not, well, I hope that you will soon find love. Because nothing beats the anticipation of seeing somebody that you love. Familiarity does not breed contempt. I don't care what they tell you. Taking people and taking circumstances for granted, yes, that does. That absolutely, positively does breed contempt. But not familiarity. Familiarity fosters deeper understanding, connection, admiration. And those things fuel our desire to keep pushing the relationship forward. And when it's love, we crave the nearness. And since we can't be near 100% of the time, we anticipate the next occasion for it, because, well, proximity matters. Have you ever, I haven't read the book, but I've heard a lot about it, and I've read enough about it to kind of know the general theme of it. And I can't think of the guy that wrote it, but it's about love languages. And I've had a number of friends who have referred to it, and I remember, I don't know, man, it's been too long ago, but I remember there was some kind of an online test that you could take to try to discover your love language. And mine didn't really surprise me all that much. You know, it seems to me that there were, I don't know, I'm thinking there's five. Does that sound right? And they're things like, there are things like touch, and there are things like, I remember one being acts of service, because I know a few buddies who commented that that's their love language, you know, these acts of service. Some have commented that their wives are receiving gifts. I think that's one of them. I should have done better show prep for this, but it was funny to me. That wasn't funny, haha, but it was just funny, enlightening, that when I took this, touch was at the top of the chart. And I remember the second one being kind of words of affirmation. And I thought, well, duh, you know, I didn't have to take a test to know that. Because I've commented to you guys before, I'm the guy who's, you know, I'm going to reach out in the middle of the night to just, you know, I'm just checking to see if Rhonda's there, you know, just, right? I mean, it's just a touch. I mean, nothing more than that, just a touch. But it's that kind of stuff that, you know, that's important for me. Now, for you, maybe something completely different. But I do think that it speaks to this whole notion of anticipation. Anticipation and the fact that no, familiarity does not breed contempt. I have heard the song I just played, Far From Me, who knows how many thousands of times, and it still is just terrific. It still is just great. Come January of next year, 40 years of marriage to the same woman, and it's different. It's different, and it's been different throughout the years, but boy, just, I mean, nothing about it gets old. You know, it's familiarity. It's deeper, but I love it. I love her. Comfort. Waiting to get back to a place where we have that, and we have it with people that we love.
You're sweet like a melon, sly like a felon, and I've been watching you dance all night. The party's slowing, how about going on a walk with me outside? The stars are out, it's a perfect sky. What if we only had tonight? What if we never see the sunrise? I don't wanna wait for the right time for you and me to stop this run around. So let your hair fall down. Let your hair fall down. I'm a whiskey drinker, a late night thinker, and I've been wanting to figure you out. I like tea with my honey, I don't have much money, but I can show you what life's about. The world's as big as we can dream. What if we only had tonight? What if we never see the sunrise? I don't wanna wait for the right time for you and me to stop this run around. So let your hair fall down. Let your hair fall down.
Adam Ezra Group. Record came out May this year, 2017. The name of the record is Hurricane Wind. The name of this song is Let Your Hair Down.
Just in white. And the main
not run in your pack, but I will get your back. What if we only have tonight? What if we never see the sunrise? I don't wanna wait for the right time for you and me to stop this run around. What if we only had tonight? What if we never see the sunrise? Your hair fall down, let your hair fall down, let it fall down.
Adam Ezra Group, Hurricane Wind, Let Your Hair Down. Lyrics matter, words matter, stories matter. Songs and the stories they tell resonate with us. It's an individual thing. Things that move one person might have little or no impact on somebody else. I envy singer-songwriters for their ability to make those intimate connections. I mean, I don't know any other way to explain how a 14-year-old version of me could hear a new record by a guy named John Prine, and I could hear the song Sam Stone, a song about a Vietnam vet who comes home damaged from the war. How can a 14-year-old me hear that song and get it? I mean, partly, I guess, because I was fascinated by the Vietnam War. I mean, it was daily in front of us when we tuned in Walter Cronkite every evening. And it seemed like something happening on another planet. I mean, there was nothing about this news footage. There was nothing about this thing that was relatable to me. That topography was completely foreign to me. War and the savageness of war, completely foreign and unknown to me. And yet when John Prine sang a song about a drug-addicted ex-soldier with a purple heart and a monkey on his back, I was touched. Immediately touched. And as I grew up and grew older, more and more of John Prine's lyrics would touch me. I admit I'm a sentimental guy. Duh. And I admit that I'm sentimental like he seems to be. And I also admit I remember sitting around. I used to be part of an inner circle of a retailing company that was big in the music business, in the record business, and people knew of my admiration for John Prine. And I remember somebody talking about, in jest, you know, about, oh, how uplifting, you know, how upbeat Prine is. And while he can be snarky, he can go to dark places of gloominess and being blue. And I can too. And I can also embrace the snark and the sarcasm. So I've kind of considered myself a lifelong kindred spirit to John Prine. I've always been waiting on the music. I've always been waiting on the words. I've always been waiting on the melody. I've always been waiting on the rhythm, the harmony. And there's never enough. The quest is never completed. And I confess that there's a new track by an artist that I also like, Jason Isbell. And he's another crafty wordsmithing storyteller that resonates with me because I often feel like he sings in this song. I feel like a dinosaur. You ever feel that way? The last of a kind. Well, if there ever was another, you know, looking for a place to fit, looking for a crowd in which to fit.
Mm-hmm.
couldn't be happy in the city at night. You can't see the stars from the neon light. Sidewalk's dirty and the river is worse. Underground trains all run in reverse. Nobody here can dance like me. Everybody clapping on the one and the three of mine. The last of my kind. Am I the last of my kind? So many people with so much to do. Winter's so cold, my hands turn blue. Old men sleeping on the filthy ground. They spend the whole day just walking around. Nobody else here seems to care. They walk right past them like they ain't even there. Am I the last of my kind? Am I last of my kind? Daddy said the river would always lead me home, but the river can't take me back in time. And daddy's dead and gone, and the family farm's a parking lot for Walton's five and dime. Am I the last of my kind? Am I
Jason Isbell?
Last of my.
And the 400 unit came out in May of this year, 2017. Name of the record is The Nashville Sound. Last of My Kind. I'll give you some fair warning. There's some rough language in a lyric or two. But the guy's masterful. He's lived the life, and he's lived to tell the tale, thankfully. Come out on the other side. Not unscathed, but that's what the music's for. Helps us through the times. Jason Isbell.
Arkansas, but I'm a long, long way from there. And that whole world's an old and faded picture in my mind. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Am I last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind?
That's his wife, Amanda Shires, playing on the violin, the fiddle. Jason Isbell on the 400 unit, 2017 release, The Nashville Sound, Last of My Kind. Waiting gets a bad rep, partly because we mostly hate to wait. Lines, traffic, people, they all hold us up. They all make us wait. But waiting has value. Hence the cliche, some things are worth waiting for, and indeed they are. Good music is worth the wait, and that's why so many musicians produce terrific first records. I mean, they've been playing and playing and playing and writing and writing and writing for years, waiting to get that first record done. And it also explains why there are quite a few sophomore slumps. Because that time between that first record And the second record? That's ridiculously short compared to how long it took him to get the first one done. A lifetime of music. Well, at least up to that point. It explodes in that first record. Did for John Prine, countless others. But for those who can push through and those who can keep trudging forward in their musicianship and in their craft, and they can find a place of higher excellence through intense practice and increased devotion, well, the music, it can just get better and more consistent and worth the wait. And that speaks to another reason why waiting gets a bad rep. People suppose that it means we're doing nothing, that waiting is just some passive thing. That is not necessarily true. Artists might wait while living life so that they can gain greater context for their work. I mean, you got to live life. John Prine can't write the songs that he writes because he ain't lived life. He can write those songs because he has. And it gives time for growth, gives time for improvement. I love the story of Dan Kaminsky. He is the mandolin and guitar player for Union Station, which is Alison Krauss's band. And he also sings harmony for her. You know him probably as the voice of the song Man of Constant Sorrow from that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Great movie and a terrific song and a terrific soundtrack, I might add. He grew up in Vermont. Yeah, that's right, Vermont. Carted around by his parents to bluegrass festivals and concerts. Banjo, that was his passion. He added the mandolin to his skill set. And by the time he got tapped to replace Tim Stafford, who left Union Station in 1992, and he was just an interim replacement for a bit, but he was already an accomplished bluegrass player. But he wasn't a guitarist. And I remember reading somewhere, I'm not sure if this is true, so I'm not going to state this as fact, but I still love the story, and I hope it is true. But I remember reading somewhere that he spent months and months and months in this work shed in his backyard in Vermont, you know, that bluegrass intensive state that we all know it to be, teaching himself to play the guitar. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine the opportunity? Now, he was already with a successful bluegrass band. But, you know, still, I mean, come on, to be part of Union Station and play with Alison Krauss, you know, and she's been this, you know, she was this prodigy at 16 and has been just crazy, crazy talented and hugely successful ever since. And play the guitar for her, but you hadn't figured out how to play the guitar yet. I mean, true or not, that's a great story. And there are plenty of stories like that of musicians spending hours and hours and hours, days and days and days, weeks, months, years, practicing their craft so they can become proficient. Back in 2008, CMT Magazine asked Dan a question that it'll show you his approach to the work and the waiting. It's called practice. If I was smarter and had gone to the trouble to get it, I would insert Allen Iverson's rant right here. Practice. Practice is practice. Yeah. You remember Allen Iverson, the famed basketball, and there's a terrific story, by the way. Played for Philadelphia, and, you know, he went off because he had missed a practice, and he's like, it's practice. Like it's no big deal. Well, here's what Dan Kaminsky was asked by the CMT magazine writer. You don't really want that comfort zone as a musician, do you? And here's what Dan said. You want to feel like you're proficient. You want to feel like you can get around the neck, talking about the neck of a guitar. But no, I think to feel like you're challenged is a great place to hang out because it keeps you in the mindset that I think you need to maintain while you play. And there you have it. I mean, that's, yeah, doing the work. Waiting to get good. Waiting to be proficient. It takes time. But you don't get proficient by just doing nothing. And so waiting isn't passive at all. Not for the people making the music. No, waiting means playing and singing.
Keep me singing. Go ahead.
Run down to the corner. Well, the homeboys welcome me back. No feeling of isolation here. Well, I guess I must be on the right track. There are things that count in life. Just to know my people got soul. Sam Cooke singing, that's where it's at. And let the good times roll. Keep that singing while I'm winning. Waiting on my chance to come. Keep that singing. The new beginning. Well, the day is done.
He is Van the Man Morrison. From his latest record, a 2016 release called Keep Me Singing, and it is the title track. Here's a guy, along with John Prine and along with Jackson Browne, other than the best of records, I'll buy everything these guys put out. And I think I have everything that Van, in fact, I know I do. I've got every record the guy's done. Just terrific. One of the few people still on my kind of bucket list of people that I would like to see live, but I have yet to do that. But he's super terrific. Again, Van Morrison, Keep Me Singing, and I hope the world does keep him singing. And it's practice, Alan. Yeah, it is. It's practice.
Someday I wanna be in love and sing like Al Green. This love deserves a chance.
His name is Mike Evin, E-V-I-N. It's a 2015 record. Life as a Lover is the name of the record. Name of this song is Al Green. Well, I'm in love, but boy, would I love to sing like Al Green. Or Marvin Gaye.
Sing like Al Green.
Mike Evin, E-V-I-N. Life as a Lover, 2015. Name of the song, Al Green. I'm just honored to be able to listen to the likes of Al Green and the late, great Marvin Gaye and others of that ilk. And honored to listen, honored to wait for the next record that touches my heart, stirs my emotions, takes my mind to feelings that resonate through me like a good bass line does. Or a good stretch of four-part harmony, for that matter. I have spent my life waiting on a song, waiting on the music. And thankfully, in the immortal words of Casey Kasem, the hits just keep on rolling, fueling my envy of these people who can write and perform music, and thankful that somebody can do it, even though I can't, and that many of them can do it so terrifically well. I mean, that's just a bonus, isn't it? Waiting on the music might imply just sitting around doing nothing, but that's wrong. That's wrong. And like Dan Kaminsky's pursuit of playing, waiting on the music is an active pursuit. And by now, you know me. Waiting on the music isn't just literal. It's also an allegory. It's a metaphor. Pursuit. Practice. Putting in the work. Not merely sitting idly by hoping. No, working. Optimistic that tomorrow or sometime sooner than later, the music, whatever else you're chasing, that it will arrive. It's a life of hope. It's a life of anticipation. It's the opposite of what you find in so many places. It's the opposite of despair. It's the opposite of dread. It's the opposite of hopelessness. Because even a sad song is still a song. So the encouragement in two words is simply escape passivity. Passivity. I copied and pasted the definition in case you didn't know what it was. Just go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Find episode 4111. You'll see extensive show notes and all kinds of cool stuff over at the website. And for this particular post, you'll see this definition. Passivity, a noun. Number one definition, acceptance of what happens without active response or resistance. Well, just because we wait for the music does not mean we have no response or that we are inactive. Accepting what happens while taking action is very different than just laying down and being completely compliant with whatever happens. Literally, when it comes to waiting on actual music, me, I go searching. I go searching. Now, you may not, but I do. And I actually listen to terrestrial radio when I'm in the car and sometimes when I'm working. Now, it could be that I'm in Dallas, Texas, right? I mean, what are we, the number 5 market in the country? We have a non-commercial public FM station that plays adult album alternative music. KXT 91.7. Shout out. You can scan their playlist. It's online. I'm putting a link in the show notes to it. And you can get a sense of what they play. And sometimes the music that I'm waiting for, it arrives through them, through KXT. But I pursue literal music in other places. You know, be a little bit like a business that's looking for customers. You just don't rely on a single source. You look for customers anywhere you can find them. And so do I, including, well, YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud. Music is everywhere if you just listen closely. Now, remember, this is about the pursuit of waiting. It's about the practice. It's about the work.
Some things are better left undone. Meet me in the land of the noonday sun. Hope the long road leads you here. We'll eat and drink till every trap is gone. Watch the sky turn to night. We have no hour but this one. Meet me in the land of the noonday sun. And I will sleep in the valley. I will lay my worries down. Oh, my mind won't make a sound. Oh, my mind won't make a sound.
Her name is Kelly McCrae, McRae. It's a new record. I think it came out in May. It's a 2017 record. Name of the song is Land of the Noonday Sun. The name of the record is The Wayside. The noonday sun is just as bright as it gets. It's almost July. Here in Texas, the sun is bright and hot in July. And if clouds and darkness represent hopelessness, then clear skies and sunshine, they represent hope.
I will sing for the joy. Oh, my mind won't make a sound. Oh, my mind won't make a sound. Oh, my mind won't make a sound.
For a guy like me, a guy who can enjoy a rainy, dark day, gratitude drives me. Now, I do confess that there are many days that I have to intentionally embrace gratitude, but I am mostly grateful, and it's not one of those things that comes with great difficulty, although I do sometimes set aside time to be very intentional about it. Because I just think that that's good. I think it is good for me to do that. I think it'd be good for you to do that. I simply have got just too much to be thankful for. Too many people in my life, good people. I don't mean too many in that too many, but I've just got too many people to be thankful for in my life, including some that were once here, but now are gone on. The culmination of lifelong pursuing, chasing, climbing, overcoming, being knocked down, dragged out, suffering way more disappointments than I could ever catalog or count, and enduring hardships that I would rather not count, and all the while knowing that the process, the pursuit, that is the point of it all. It's not whether or not the music gets exhausted, because it won't. But it's about whether or not I'm willing to exhaust myself to pursue it. These are the days. The days of sunshine, the days of rain. Doesn't matter if it's the July days, if it's the December days. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're a man, if you're a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. It just doesn't matter. It never matters. Time is time, and the time is what matters, and the opportunity is what matters. And that's not unique to me. That's not unique to you. We all have the time that we have right now, right this moment. And we all have whatever unique opportunities are ours right now, today. They are Horses Heaven. You heard me. Horses Heaven, a 2016 record entitled Before the Breakdown. Name of this song, These Are the Days. What are you going to do right now? You got today. You got this moment. And that really is what this is all about, this waiting for the music. You've got to take advantage of this moment, this opportunity. Oh, You did hear me right. Horses Heaven. That's the group. Before the Breakdown is the name of the record. These Are the Days is the song. And These Are the Days. And that means that you've got choices. Now, admittedly, the more free you are, the richer you are. The more choices you've got. But even suppressed poor people have choices. Yeah, maybe fewer, but we've still got choices. Mostly because, well, in our head, in our mind, we've got unlimited choices. If we can think it, if we can dream it, it's possible. If not, why? I've heard music for as long as I can remember. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of songs. This was a song, I'll take you back to 1969. Some of you were not even alive at the time, which is hard for me to fathom, but you weren't. But in 1969, one of the earliest albums I remember buying and playing over and over, it had this song. And I listened to this song till I nearly wore a groove in the record that shouldn't have been there. Tommy James and the Shondells. The name of the record was Crimson and Clover, and this was the title track. 1969. Yeah, buddy. It was great. I spent hours and hours listening to this record. Probably, if you don't remember that record, and I'm sure many of you don't, but hey, we also had these devices, and I had one. I admit that I had one, and I loved it. They had these light boxes, and you hook these light boxes up to your speakers. I know, sounds weird. Well, what you could do is you could run a wire from the speaker terminals to this light box, which plugged in the wall, and it had these different flickering colored lights in it. This thing was 12, 18 inches tall and 10 inches wide or so. And the lights would pulsate to the music because it was, you know, getting its feedback from the speakers. I had one of those too. Come on, I wasn't even a teen yet. But I'll tell you what else was on that record. And this got huge notoriety when Breaking Bad came out, and this song was introduced to an entire new generation. Well, actually, multiple generations of people who didn't hear it, but I heard it when it came out in 1969 because it was also on that same album. See, here it is, proof again that it's not just about the hit, because there's other stuff on this same record, and you probably have heard this song if you were a fan of the show Breaking Bad.
What do you see? The sun is rising. My
most definitely. A new day is coming. Ooh, ooh. People are changing. Ain't it beautiful? Ooh, ooh. Crystal blue persuasion. Better get ready. Gonna see you.
Tommy James and the Shondells, circa 1969, the name of the album, Crimson and Clover, Crystal Blue Persuasion. I'm telling you, spent hours and hours listening to this. I don't know why this is among the very first records, albums that I remember buying and playing over and over and over and over. I'm sure there were others before this one, but this one sticks out head and shoulders above the others. You know, all the records that I've listened to from then and even before then until now, you know, to the most recent records that I have purchased by the likes of Chris Stapleton, Jason Isbell, The Head and the Heart, thousands and thousands and thousands of songs I've heard. The quest isn't about completion because the work is never complete. The process continues just like anything worthwhile. You know, a work may be completed, but the work continues. A painter finishes one painting only to realize that there's another one to be begun. A software engineer, he can complete the development of an app only to begin work on a new idea, a new app. Maybe an architect finishes the plans on a structure and then pursues creating a new set of plans for something perhaps very different. Something new. Always something new. Always the pursuit of more. Something new. Something even better.
Crystal blue persuasion. Yeah.
Tommy James and the Shondells. Yeah, you got to have that in your repertoire somewhere, don't you? Even if it's, okay, I'll even let you get Crimson and Clover or Crystal Blue Persuasion or both on some kind of a compilation record. It doesn't matter. You still need to have them. It's about the pursuit. You get that by now. I hate to just keep beating a dead horse, but I think it's a horse worth beating. No, I don't want the animal activists getting after me. Again, it's metaphorical, people. I know that the ideal sometimes can seem far away. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what's going on with you. But I know that in my life, the ideal can just seem like, man, it's just so far away. And on so many things, I do feel like Dan Kaminsky, I feel proficient about so many things. And I feel like I'm just in such a deficit position on so many other things. And in some cases, the ideal for me can seem just light years away. But today's music, these notes that we are currently playing, that we have played, and that continue to kind of form the literal soundtrack of our lives, they are carrying us closer and closer and closer to the ideal. I think. And I think that even though they seem so far away, that's, well, how do you know? There's the rub. You don't know. And that's why the pursuit and the ongoing pursuit just matter so stinking much.
People around me are at it again. God only knows how they do it. One to another, then back again. Something keeps putting them through. Me, I've been watching more than 15 years and it hasn't changed a bit. People keep talking about a different line, but it never seemed to fit. This is a song for you, far away, far away. This is a song for you, far away from me. This is a song.
Yeah, you know him, James Taylor, from his 1985 record, That's Why I'm Here. Name of this song, Song for You, Far Away. You know, when I started thinking about this and talking about the ideal singing far away, here's a song, just bam, popped into my head, and I'm like, yeah, that fits here. And you can just never go wrong with James Taylor. I was able to see James live. I had waited years and years and years to see Mr. Taylor play. Got to see him in a rather smallish venue here in town some years ago. A terrific show. Randy Newman, that was another one. Got to knock him off the list. So Van the Man, I really can't think of, really isn't anybody major that I haven't seen that I want to see. Jackson, quite a few times, been able to see him. John Prine, seen him. But if you have a chance to go see Mr. Taylor play, you should. The guy is smooth. The guy's good. He hasn't lost a step at all musically. But this is what happens, man. The best music is a personal thing, and it hits us right where we live, and it speaks to who we are, or maybe who we feel like we are, or maybe who we most want to be. And boy, does he hit the spot for many, many of us. I like to think that the music helps create the ideal version of who we most want to be. You know, it inspires us like that, moves us, helps us take action in a direction that serves us. Not just waiting for life to happen or for a song to enter our ears, but diligently chasing a great song. Being open, being receptive to a great song, to great music. So here's the question of the hour. What are you chasing? Something that when you catch it, you feel energy. That's the deal. Like when you hear a song that you really like and you're just, man, you're happy that you found it. You're happy that you found this group. You're happy that you found this band. You're happy that you found this singer-songwriter. You're happy that you found this song. Your life is enriched because of it. And let's get real clear about all this. Waiting for the music is about being so enthused in the pursuit that it never grows old. I mean, I just listened to Crimson and Clover and Crystal Blue Persuasion. 1969. Took me back to 1969. I was not even a teenager in 1969, and I'm old today. It's pretty exciting. Did you know that if I knew what songs mattered most to you, I could play those songs for you, and immediately I could take you back to whenever that song first resonated with you. All I got to do is know the song. I don't have to know anything else. But if I knew what that song was and I could hit play right now in a flash, in a nanosecond, you'd be right back to that place. That's the power of it. You know, it's like a smell. It's like an odor that hits you, and it can take you to a time and a place long, long, long ago. Music heightens our senses and our memory. Now, here's the thing. And here's the thing about all of this, this whole allegory. It never stops. And you don't want it to stop. I don't want the music to stop. I don't want my pursuit of it to stop. Musicians are entering the field for the first time. I'm recording this on Thursday, June the 29th, 2017. Today, here we are the weekend before July 4th. In Nashville, Tennessee, somebody, maybe a carload of somebodies, they're entering Nashville for the first time ever with dreams of making it big. Right? I mean, and then there are some like the Rolling Stones that, you know, or Tom Petty. I mean, what Tom Petty and them are, this is the 40th anniversary tour. I mean, they've been doing it as Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for 40 years. And yet some are still enduring the daily struggle to make it, whatever that means. Over at my private Facebook group. What? Wait a minute, what? You didn't know about the private Facebook group? You're not in there? Well, that's shame on you. All you got to do is just go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, and you'll see in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a Facebook icon. Just click that, takes you right over there. Ask to join. I'll let you. Just behave yourself. But over there, I regularly post in the private Facebook group videos of a young man from Indiana who now lives in New York City who's trying to make it. Over 7 years ago, I connected with a young man who I was watching YouTube videos one night and saw him, and he was doing cover songs. Just one guy and a guitar, and he was in a garage with a Camaro behind him. I got him on Skype. We talked for about 90 minutes. He had just moved from Chattanooga to Nashville to make it as a singer-songwriter. This year, Garth Brooks recorded one of his songs and took him on tour as an opening act. You know, some days the bear eats you, some days you eat the bear. That young man, his name is Mitch Rossell, R-O-S-S-E-L-L. Well, Mitch Rossell ate the bear, but only after grinding it out for over 7 years. The point is, it never stops because we don't want it to stop. Whatever it is for you, whatever it is that you're waiting on, actively. The musicians don't want to stop making music. I don't want to stop listening to the music. I don't want to stop discovering the music. The pure joy of discovering does not remove the ambition to find more. So it's not like the metaphor of climbing the mountaintop, because, okay, well, you get to the top, then where are you going to go? Find someplace higher? Well, what if there is no place higher? No, it's not like that. And that's why I chose this metaphor, because, well, yeah, it resonates with me. And if I resonate with you, then my hope is this resonates with you too. So it's one of those kind of 2 degrees of separation kind of things. The pure joy of discovering good music, as I define it, does not remove my ambition to find more of it. And that's what I'm talking about. It's learning, it's pursuing, it's consuming, it's enjoying, all of that rolled up into one big pile of what I most want to do. What is that for you? What do you most want to do? Waiting for the music is the metaphor for you making the most meaningful contribution to the world by doing what you do best, by doing what you most love to do, by doing what is most valuable to other people. Her name is Matresa Berg, a 1993 CD that I own, Speed of Grace, Waiting for the Sky to Fall. Too many folks are waiting for lightning to strike. They're waiting for some miracle to change their lives, but it never happens. And it's not going to happen. We only catch what we chase. Fools chase empty things like fame and fortune, the things that only fuel our vanity. The wise chase optimism and the belief that they can make a difference. And maybe the belief that other people can make a difference for them too. Not the world. Not changing the world. Just make a difference for somebody. For anybody. Maybe if they're especially talented and blessed with opportunities, they can make a difference for many somebodies. I'm reminded of that story of the boy saving the starfish. The old man says, come on, you're not going to make any kind of a difference. I mean, it's not going to matter. And as he throws one in back to the ocean, he says, well, it made a difference to that one. Most of us will impact fewer than 100 people in our lives. But what is wrong with that? That's okay. In fact, that's more than okay. It is spectacular, really. Because without you in their life, where would the music come from? We're not waiting for the sky to fall. No, we're waiting for the music by exhausting ourselves to find it and give it a listen. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome. Inside the Yellow Studio. Speaking of Nashville, Tennessee, Matt Carney is another transplanted Oregonian. Is that right? I don't know. He's from Oregon. He's an Oregon duck. Matt Carney is now in Nashville, Tennessee. Was able to see him in a really small venue. In fact, it was the same venue where I got to see Leo Kottke. Just a couple of hundred people. It was great. It was great. This is from a 2006 record called Nothing Left to Lose. And I'm playing it because, well, the title tells you everything. Wait. Enjoy.
Winds hit my back, cold as I remember, and caught me off guard in the middle of December. Sometimes a crowded room can feel the most alone. Sometimes I wonder why I won't pick up the phone when this wall is glaring and it's too high for me to climb. I've ran and ran and now there's nothing left behind. I see a picture of a broken man inside. Tried and tried and now there's nothing left but time. And I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you alone. And I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you alone. Not even mine, a tree and a nail, and a cry in the night. Sometimes a little step is the greatest divide. Sometimes I feel breath right at my side when this wall is glaring and it's too high for me to climb. I've ran and ran and now there's nothing left behind. I see a picture of a broken man inside. I've tried and tried and now there's nothing left but time. And I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you alone. And I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you alone. Together we'll fly tonight and leave all of the rest behind. I'll wait for you. Here I am at the edge of the road. One hand on the end of the rope. One crack and it breaks alone. Wondering who's gonna take me home. On my knees when you call my bluff. Begging please from the edge of the rock. And I know and I've had enough. A picture of a broken man inside. I've tried and now there's nothing left but time. And I'll wait.